0 hour is upon us for tens of thousands of airline jobs. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the ADP payroll people just counted them all up and finds that hiring in September was stronger than expected. Let us consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
More than expected, coming in at nearly 750,000 jobs that were added. Expectations were closer to 650,000. So that's good to see. That's a positive number. We like to see those job gains. And it does imply that our recovery is continuing.
All right. We'll see if it's borne out in the official jobs report that doesn't come out until Friday. Now, you and I both stayed up, different parts of the country, watching the presidential debate last night. How do you think the result of that bickering will play out in market psychology?
Markets like certainty, and they certainly didn't get that from last night's debate. I think the market's takeaway will be that lawmakers are still very divided, and there's little chance that we will see a stimulus bill passed before the election.
All right. Aviva's Susan Schmidt. But just now, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin was telling CNBC television there will not be a package of aid for airlines separate from an overall federal stimulus bill. On that, Mnuchin indicated there is hope he and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will reach a, quote, understanding on an overall coronavirus relief package by tomorrow. Airlines are warning that they'll lay off or furlough about 30,000 employees tomorrow without more emergency funding. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
There was $25 billion for the airlines in the CARES Act, the coronavirus relief package passed by Congress last spring. The airlines had to promise to avoid major job cuts to get that money. With that provision expiring tomorrow, American says it'll furlough or lay off 19,000 workers. United Airlines says it'll furlough about 12,000 employees. Delta and Southwest are avoiding layoffs for now because so many of their employees agreed to voluntary departures. But all the airlines say they're bleeding money. Passenger numbers are down by more than half. According to the TSA, about 500,000 people flew yesterday compared to nearly 2 million a year ago. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
With candidate Biden pointing out that most prominent public health officials are saying a coronavirus vaccine will not be widely available until the middle of next year, candidate Trump during the debate last night insisted a vaccine is, quote, just weeks away. Developing a safe and effective vaccine has been a kind of Manhattan project, but a separate vast challenge is getting it out there. As part of our ongoing series, Fast Track, I consulted Kelly Moore, Associate Director for the Immunization Action Coalition, an organization of physicians and health experts that educates the public about vaccines. Dr. Moore, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
What needs to be done now to get the distribution of a vaccine or vaccines organized? It's my understanding you think we're already a bit behind here.
There are a few really important things that have my attention. One of them is how resource intensive this vaccine distribution program is going to be. Right now, the states have been promised as little as $200 million to be coming their way. It's not in hand yet for vaccine distribution planning and response. There's more money promised by Congress, but nothing is available yet. And this is going to be an intensive program that's going to last for perhaps a year or longer. So resources are desperately needed. We've spent over $10 billion on vaccine development. We can't afford to get it wrong on getting the vaccine to the people who need it.
And number two would be on your list?
The number two issue is the technology requirements. States are going to need to manage a lot of information. Who's had which vaccine? When did they have it? When is their second dose due? And we're currently planning to build this distribution program relying on federal systems for reporting and data tracking that aren't finished being built yet. So the IT infrastructure needed to manage the information flow is still being built. And that's an issue for the states, because it's hard to build a program if you're still waiting for your IT system.
And when we talk about tracking the vaccine, you envision it as this logistical challenge, getting it to where it's needed. But also, I mean, you want states to carefully keep track of who got the shot. And in some cases, it may be several shots.
Getting two shots into people of the same brand of vaccine within a month is difficult in the best of circumstances. Actually, one of the most important elements in that is ensuring that people have a good customer experience. We don't think about that too much, but if people have a hard time getting the vaccine, even if they're eligible for it, if they have to wait a long time, if they have an unpleasant experience with dose one, they may be less inclined to come back for the essential second shot, because they're really not protected until after that second dose. And so we've got to do a terrific job not only of informing people and facilitating them coming in for their second dose, but making sure they have a good experience so that the word of mouth encourages people who are eligible to come in rather than discouraging them. It's a tall order.
Kelly Moore is Associate Director for the Immunization Action Coalition. Dr. Moore, thank you.
You're welcome.
To learn more about the logistical, fairness, and funding questions here, go to marketplace.org and check out other parts of our ongoing series, Fast Track, the grand challenge of vaccinating the world against COVID-19. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.